At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for listening. We've got a very good show today. Kenny Smith from Inside the NBA, the iconic studio show on TNT, joins and discusses what it's like to be on that show, working with Charles, Kenny, and Shaq, and we get into some NBA playoff stuff. And then Sal Licata back this week after a week off for Train of Thoughts, where we cover a bunch of things in that segment. So stick around for that. Before we get to it, let me just remind you, Ian Eagle was on the podcast last week, Adnan Virk 2 weeks ago, Greg Gumbel 3 weeks ago, Troy Aikman 4 weeks ago. If you missed any of those interviews, go into the archives, give them a listen, subscribe to the SI Media podcast, and throw a review my way if you can. All right, let's get to this week's show. Kenny the Jet Smith from Inside the NBA, followed by Train of Thoughts right here on the SI Media podcast. All right, joining me now, very, very happy to have him here because he's part of the greatest sports studio show of all time. And it's his first time with me on the SI Media podcast from Inside the NBA on TNT, Kenny the Jet Smith. Kenny, how's it going?
Good. How are you, man? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for doing this. Before we get to anything, obviously, we've got to talk about the show, the playoffs. I got to start with this because I think it showed what great character and restraint you have. How did you not punch Charles when he was physically taunting you after North Carolina, your alma mater, lost in the title game? He was out of line, I thought.
Because Auburn didn't even get near sniff anywhere near it. So it was easy. It was easy. Because, unfortunately, no one could see me ribbing him about Auburn because we were in a studio. So it was actually worse what he got for me for Auburn. But, honestly, he wasn't rooting against us, but he just doesn't like me to win. So he wasn't rooting against North Carolina. He's rooting against me.
Right. I got it. When I saw that video, I was cringing. I'm like, this is out of line. This is disrespectful.
You know what? The funny thing, the video was it wasn't in chronological order. That was surfaced. I saw that.
Okay.
It's like he's singing YMCA to me.
Yes.
The score is actually tied at that point. He's not, and he's just having fun. But they made it seem like it was after the loss that he was doing that, but it wasn't. He was bad, but he wasn't that bad.
Yeah. All right. I had to get that out of the way before we get into Inside the NBA and the NBA playoffs. And a couple other things. You're in a movie with Adam Sandler. You just executive produced The Pathway. So busy time for you. Well, let's start with this. How much do you love this time of the year? I mean, is it you guys work extra now? As Charles had some fun at your expense with the food poisoning, which we'll get into, but you know, now you're on way more than during the regular season. Is this just all adrenaline and excitement for you? Is this the best time of year by far, I would assume?
Well, I think the one thing that makes this one a little bit different is like the NCAA for us is really tough for me, particularly because I live in Los Angeles and we work out in New York. So I'm in New York Thursday to Sunday, and then I'm going home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'm flying back across the country so many times. So that's the toughest part. We're here. We're in Atlanta for 2 weeks. We don't move. We don't change anything. So for me, it's not as big.
Right. So now you're in Atlanta for 2 weeks. I didn't realize you lived in LA. So you're going to stay in Atlanta. You don't move now for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, for 2 weeks, I won't move. I'm pretty much here. We have one day off on Friday. You know, ESPN kind of takes over. But then after that, when we have the one day off, then we work so early on Saturdays. So it makes no sense possibly to kind of leave. But, the great part of this is like every game matters now. You know, that's what makes this fun. Every game matters. Every play, like throughout the season, as I listen to you watch basketball and you listen to networks, sometimes they make it seem like, you know, game 33 has the same significance as to game 2 of the playoffs. So you're trying to quander up things, and you hear people, or you're in moments that aren't really real. In my mind, I always go, well, this is a temporary moment. But these moments have finality to them. So like you don't do the right thing, they have finality. Play-ins, the play-in tournament. There's finality to that. You lose game 1 and 2, there could be finality to it. You lose game 33 in the season, it doesn't have finality. It's just kind of a trend of what could happen and what shouldn't happen.
Do you guys do anything? You want to speak for the show? You can speak for yourself. Is there anything different about what you guys do pregame, halftime, postgame during the playoffs as opposed to the regular season? Do you try to now listen? You guys have the most fun show there is. Do you try to go a little more serious in the postseason? Do you keep everything the same in the postseason? Anything differently, or it's the same show all the time, 365?
You know what the funny thing is, Jimmy? It's never even talked about. Like, we're going to keep it the same. It's like whatever you feel in that moment. We just do. We never talk about, hey, let's keep it lighter. Let's keep it fun. Let's keep it serious. The moment dictates that. The moment dictates it. You know, when the game is if the game is a 1-point game, triple overtime, you're going to talk about plays that really led to certain things. But you're in a blowout. You're sitting there. Like, if you're at home, the blowout is on. You start talking to your significant other. You start talking to your kids. You make a sandwich. We're going to do that. We're just going to do it live on TV. We might even pull out the sandwich and make the actual sandwich on TV. Like we don't think about, we just live in the real moment of what it really is.
Yeah. You've been with the show the longest, since 98. Could you have ever even imagined the success, the popularity, the pop culture relevance that you all would end up having today in, you know, 2022 and the last several years?
No. So the only thing I could compare it to in my era growing up was Monday Night Football. You know, Dandy Don and Howard Cosell. Like they became caricatures, and they became things that they said became fabric of sport of what you say and how you say it. You know, and I think that's kind of happened with us. There's things that I hear, you know, that even my son's friends say, and I'm like, yeah, that's an original concept thought of what we actually did. That's what I thought of, like doing it, like Gone Fishing, let's say.
Right.
Like I thought of that in 1998 when I came to the show. I was like, when teams would lose, I was like, oh, they're Gone Fishing. Based off of something that happened in the playoffs when I was with the Rockets, you know. And so now when people say it's Gone Fishing, you know, you're Shaqton right now. Oh, you're Shaqton the fool. You're Shaqton.
Right.
It's like I hear that at AAU tournaments. Kids say, oh, you're Shaqton right now. It's like, yeah, that's a direct term from us. And that's the only thing I compare it to is Monday Night Football. I mean, they make caricatures of us on Saturday Night Live. Like, that's the ultimate of, like, you are – pop culture.
Have you ever had a bad day at work with this show?
not a bad day, but a long day. Like, and our long days are actually pretty cool because so it's going to get, this is the second day, third day of the playoffs, really. Like, and we're already a little, we get a little tired of each other. It's going to, because we're around each other literally 12 hours a day, you know, so if you're around anyone, I don't care how much you love them, like them, you need a break from them. And it'll be about the second week. I always have it timed perfectly. Right in that second week, right in the middle of the second round, Charles and Shaq are going to really want to get into a real fist fight. and then it's going to be right after that, it goes into this love fest because it feels like we're about to end. So we have this whole thing where we hate each other for about a week. And then we're like, oh, man, this is about to end and we won't see each other. And then we go into this love fest and it's like, yes, Charles, whatever you say is right. Yes, Shaq, I agree totally.
Have you ever had a legitimate fight with Charles?
Arguments. Never fight. I mean, these are honestly the closest thing. When people, you hear that term all the time, your brother, you know, especially in sports, or when I'm playing with my brothers. But these are the real family members, meaning there hasn't been, I've been there with Charles, you know, over two decades. So there hasn't been a moment in my life that Charles or Ernie and now Shaq haven't been part of, from births to marriages and divorces to buying new cars, buying new homes. Like, they have not, they've been in every big moment. We've been in every big moment of each other's life. So, you know, death, births, like, so that's a true family member. They know everything and every emotion that you've had. When you're on a team, your teammates don't know every emotion that you go through. They just can't because they're only around you for a short time. Let's say if your team doesn't even get to the playoffs, like, you're there 6 months. Now, we're there 9 months. 12-hour days. We know everything about every outfit Charles has on, I've seen. And, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, no, bro, go back and get, you know, that blue tie you have with the broken dots, put that one on with that. Like, you know so much about the person that they're truly embedded into your life.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier about not changing the philosophy of the show is never really discussed. I mean, when you go into a show, I mean, we're taping this on Wednesday. You guys have the games Thursday, I believe. What is like a pre-show routine? Are you given any notes? Are you told what to, I mean, is there any, in terms of, I don't want to say preparation, obviously you're preparing by knowing what's going on in the games, the players, but is how much is put into the show before it goes into on the air for our viewing pleasure?
Well, like for us, like, the three things that I would say, the three of us probably that most people don't know is that we probably watch more basketball outside of the show. So when you get to the show, you kind of know, oh, last week, you know, James Harden had 11 and he was, or he had 31 and they got into a little altercation. You kind of know all that information. And it has to be organic. And if you try to get it the day of and you're looking at notes and you're, it's never going to be our show. Those are the people who, like, guests that struggle when they come to our show because we're not regurgitating information or stats. We're regurgitating things of life and thought processes that go through that you actually experienced and what you feel during that moment. How did you feel when Kyrie Irving flipped off the fans? Like, we're there. Like, we're not going to talk about that if it was on, like, if you didn't watch that game, we're not going to mention it. Right. Like, if that was a regular season game and no one saw it, I'd be like, you know what? I didn't see it because I'm not going to regurgitate something that I didn't have an emotional attachment to. And I think that's what separates us, that we watch a lot of basketball. But the preparation is way beforehand. Ernie's preparation is, you know, he's got to know when the breaks are. He's got to know the subject matter, how it comes. Yeah. For us, there's nothing going to happen in a game that we haven't seen, done, heard of, or been part of. So it's us to analyze that moment and say, this is what should happen at that moment.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I've said this before. Do you ever feel a little underappreciated from the standpoint of, you know, Charles, you know, can do and say whatever he wants and has become this icon from that show? Shaq is obviously larger than life, but I feel like you're the glue that holds it together. I mean, Ernie is the traffic cop and what he does is phenomenal, obviously, but I'm talking about he's the host, but I'm talking about when you get to the analysts here, I feel like sometimes you don't even get your due because I think what you do is, you have your own takes on the game. You break down X's and O's. You mix it up with those two. And obviously their names are in sports lore. Do you ever feel underappreciated or that never comes across to you?
Never, honestly. Because I've been like, first of all, you got to know who you are. Like, you got to know and appreciate who you are. Like, I know what I could do. Honestly, Jimmy, I feel like there's no one in sport that can break down a game the way I do. I just feel that. So, might be true, might be not. But in my mind, like, analysts analyze the way I analyze things. Right. In my mind, like, right. You got to pay attention to what I'm doing because I can make your grandmother understand it and at the same time make the same coach who is a great coach, understand that was the nuance that changed the game. And I don't know very few people that could do that verbally. Like, yeah. They could do it on a board, a blackboard, in a coaching environment, but they can't do it in a verbal environment.
Yeah. No, I agree. When you go to that big board, I know I'm going to learn something.
I've always been the guy, I don't know what, I just enjoy seeing other people be successful. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, and I guess that's the point guard in you, like that. When like you play with guys, you like when a guy gets 30 on your team, you're the first one in the locker room to grab him. Like, I was that guy all the time. Right. So no, in terms of like commercials and stuff. So I don't want to do all those commercials Shaq does. Like, I don't want to be in them either. I always stop like, dude, if I had as much money as you, I would never be on TV as like that. I would be, every time the show ends, I would be on my jet to some island. I would not be making another commercial. So
I can't tell you how happy I am to hear you say that because this has always been my philosophy. Like, you know, Tom Brady is out there pushing this TB12, like there's no tomorrow. And I'm like, if you're Tom Brady, what do you need this for? You're the greatest quarterback of all time. You got all these rings. You're married to Giselle. What do you need this for?
There is a limit to my limit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a limit to my limit. And, but I also, like I said, I understand what, like, as each team member does. Like, I understand the value of Patty Mills, Kevin Durant, Kyrie, three different levels. I understand the value of each guy. And I understand how one really affects the other. And at times, I think my comrades, they can only see it from that point of view of a star.
Right.
Everyday point of view. And I'm like, yeah, but he's a star only because that guy helps him become a star too. I understand that role. I understand all of those roles, you know, from being college player of the year to all NBA rookie team to key member of a championship team. So you're like, oh, I get each role and how valuable it is to the success. And so, right. No, I don't ever feel that way. The only time I've ever felt like not underappreciated, but like if I was around people who abused it. So I don't think Charles and Shaq abuse the fact that they can get certain things because not to because what they do on the show, but because they what they've done in the past. Mm-hmm. And if they abused it, then I would probably be like, yo, I would tell, I wouldn't even feel the way. I would just tell him honestly. I'm like, yo, you're abusing this right now because I've done that. So, no, I don't think I've ever felt that way. No,
yeah. No. A couple of more overall things on the show, and then I want to get into some specific topics in the playoffs. Give me, if you can, the all-time funniest moment you've ever experienced sitting on that set where either Charles said something or someone did something, but, you know, where you just
it's too many, man. It might happen tonight. Like, honestly, right. Like every night.
But does you got right. anything that stands out?
No, I mean, like literally, like we could talk about like when Charles kissed the donkey, when, you know, from all the way back. But even last night, we're on the show. It's the funniest line I've ever heard. It last night. So Shaq, who are we interviewing? I can't
remember. Butler? I saw you guys interviewing Jimmy Butler. Okay.
Jimmy Butler. And Ernie went to Charles first because the producer in our ear.
Yeah.
And the producer said, Ernie said something. Hey, Charles has a new name for you. So the producer says, okay, let's go to Charles first. We always go to Shaq first. So Shaq didn't hear that. And he gets upset and he's like, oh, and Jimmy's right there.
Right.
He's like, Jeremy, I'm supposed to go first. I'll say producer name. Jeremy, producer, go ahead. You know, I'm supposed to go first. And you're telling, and Jimmy's just sitting there like, who's Jeremy? Like, what's going on? But the funniest line of all, he tells Jeremy, you're up there producing. He's our producer. He's like, he's telling the producer not to produce. So we just made a joke of it all. So to me, like every night, like,
I saw that.
Like someone's like, Jimmy, like, what are you hosting for? Like, well, that's my job on this show, right? Like, I'm hosting. Right. Kenny's here hosting.
I saw that live, and it was one of those things where, like, Shaq looked like he was legitimately pissed.
No,
at
he was
Charles.
Legitimately upset because he's like, he's ready for his question, and he went to Shaq, but he didn't hear him go. He didn't hear Ernie go, yeah, Charles has a new name for you, but it would have made no sense to bounce around to him and come back. Right, but anyway, but those are moments that you just can't plan. Like, none of our moments are planned. Like, you know, the ones that we plan always found would fail.
Yeah, I'm talking about even more, because, you know, this happens in real life when you're with your friends and stuff where someone just comes out with it's more about the one-liner. Like, Charles will come out with a one-liner. It's not a bit. It's not a big thing. And you don't expect it. And certain things just hit you the right way. And I'll give you an example from my standpoint, which I think was your funniest moment of the year, with was when you guys had LeBron and KD on for the All-Star teams.
Yeah.
Harden got picked last.
Right, right.
And LeBron asked you guys, like, is he hurt? Is he back? What's his status? And Charles goes, he's healthy. He got traded now. It's the one line like that I think really sums up the show perfectly.
Yeah, I always call Charles the best ballroom one-liner guy in the world. He has all the one-liners that you hear when you go to a bar. Like, you know, you sit with your guys at a bar and everybody's just got these one-liners. That's Chuck. Yeah. Chuck is the bar one-liner person for sure.
You had him flustered last night, though, when you guys were arguing about Steph Curry and he ended up calling you stupid. So that means you won the argument in my book.
Exactly. Well, they never guarded guys like Steph Curry.
Right.
So they're telling me how to defend Steph Curry when you've never guarded a guy like him. And so your role is so different when you have to guard a guy who gets hot. And not only was he hot, Poole was hot and Clay were hot all at the same time. Yeah. So you're talking about the two best shooters in the history of basketball. They get hot at the same time. You have to defend them totally different than any other team in the history of the game.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to give up certain things. And they gave up a layup to Clay. And I'm like, Yeah, but that's not even that guy's fault. It's the weak side that's supposed to come over. It doesn't – you got to give up the layup, because if you don't show on Steph Curry when he's hot, you're giving him 3 points. It's like a layup, and they could not understand it. They're like, no, you locked the guy, because they're thinking, I don't want my big man to roll and score. No, we're giving that up.
Yeah. But the point is, there's no other sports show on television where the argument ends with one host calling the other host stupid. That's the beauty of your show.
after a while, he goes back to his 12-year-old.
Yeah.
You're stupid.
I do that too, so I related to that moment. Last thing, you know, Charles is on this kick. He says in all these interviews, he's done in 2 years when his contract's up. He's retiring in 2 years. I don't know him. I've never interviewed him. I'd love to have him on. He won't come on, but I don't believe that for one second. You know him, obviously, and work with him. Do you believe that?
I thought he was retired. He only works one day a week until May. What are we supposed to do? You only work one day a week until, isn't that retirement? Isn't that retirement? You would be a consultant for one day a week for some big company. And you're not going to be there every day. He's not there every day. He's only there until May. We did 3 weeks in a row, and then we go back to one day a week. It's you retired, bro. You're not going to retire. You're already retired. The job is retirement. The job is retirement.
Perfection right there. So well said. Let me ask you about a couple of things recently. Big thing. I wrote about this in my column, and it really took off and was really the news story for a day, was the Timberwolves going completely ballistic after they won the play-in game. And you guys had some lighthearted fun mocking them, and Charles asked where one shining moment was, and kissing babies and all that stuff. And there, and then of course, because we live in this time where there's always got to be sort of a counter argument, people are like, oh, let the T-Wolves celebrate and don't rain on their parade, blah, blah, blah. What's your take on how all that played out?
Nothing is great is accomplished without passion. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if I win the lottery, I'm going to act one way. If I win the quick pick, I'm going to act another way. That's all I'm saying. I'm just going to act. There's level to my excitement. And that's what all I'm saying. They won the quick pick. You can't win like you won the lottery. They want, the only time you ever have seen that is when someone has won championships. They jump on stanchions, not on multiple guys, not just one. Right. Multiple guys jumped on stanchions. Multiple guys kissing people that, their loved ones. There is a level of excitement and passion that you need. But did you win the quick pick or did you win the lottery?
Excellent. Now, I don't want to just keep kissing your ass, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I love that analogy. But here's what I love the most about your show and that situation. Every other show or all the other hosts would have apologized or tried to defend themselves. I love the fact that you guys just keep doing your thing. We need so much more of that in sports and in the world. You don't have to apologize for something that's not a big deal, no matter how offended the T-Wolves or their fans were. So I love the fact that you just keep rolling and don't get caught up in that nonsense.
Not at all. Not at all. Because there's nothing that we've not been part of. We've been part of being the last game of the year and making the playoffs. We weren't jumping on the stanchions. We understand what that is.
Let me get your take on something else. This became a thing in my column yesterday. Woj over at ESPN. They were talking about the Celtics-Kyrie situation with the fans and Kyrie flipping them off. And Woj then pivoted. He changed the discussion. He didn't make it about the Celtics and Kyrie, but then he it was about overall fan behavior. I don't know how often you're in the arenas, because obviously you guys are in the studio, but he made the point that with legalized betting now all over the place, it's almost in 30 states where you can literally bet play to play. And I know because I do it. I mean, you can bet a player's point total in the middle of a game that will now lead to or create more animosity with fans towards players when they lose some of their bets, because this is so prevalent now and you can do it right on your phone from in the stadium. I would love your, as a player and analyst, I'd love your take on that. What you think?
It's a possibility. I would imagine, that your favorite player, if he hits a game winning shot and you won $10,000, he becomes your, he wasn't your favorite player. He becomes your favorite player. Like, oh, that's my guy. I could imagine that. And I could imagine the opposite. You know, if he misses a shot and you lose $10,000, you'd be like, man, I don't like that guy. You know, that's the guy who made me. You could have a false perception that that play made the difference. And it would be a false perception. But as an NBA player, if you're caught into the middle of all of that, Kyrie did an unbelievable job. He scored 39 points, whatever. I don't know how you can function like on a daily basis if you're particularly paying attention and not holding yourself to a higher standard in terms of not paying attention to it. Because there's so many more details in the game that you have to worry about. You know, play calls, what are they calling, time and score, what do we need, what shot do we leave? That the energy that you're giving to them, in my mind, Kyrie might be different, would suck the energy that I'm giving to my team if I did that over a long period of time. Right. Maybe like the one game he could be pissed off. So I don't know. Kyrie could have been having a bad day that day. You know what I mean?
Well, do you think also could just be as simple as, you know, he's standing there and someone's 2 feet away and they go, you know, F this, MF this, and they just turn
I'm not listening to
the finger.
I'm not listening to that.
Okay.
I'm not listening to that because, it's like when Jaws calls me stupid. It's like, it's the end result. Like I know I'm busting your team's butt. I'm killing your team. Of course you're not going to like it. Of course you're not going to like it. So I'm not, it's actually a compliment underhanded. So no, there is a point where you would feel offended that people are hearing it. But a continual, like LeBron gets people thrown out the arena. Like he's like, yo, get that dude. Yo, you know what he just said? He's kind of like, Kyrie has that ability now to like, yo, this guy is really taking it over the top. He needs to leave. And the league now will let you do that. So I just throw him out the arena. I'll be like, yo, get that guy out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I just this is a fan perspective, not a player perspective. But my thing is, if you want to give the finger, I don't care. I'm not offended. You want to tell the fans after the game, suck my whatever. I don't have any. I got it. You're frustrated.
See, I'm offended by that.
But my thing is, you better win the game. You better win. Yeah. When you lose and do that, then you look like a horse's ass. Like you've got to win.
I just think that I think that he has to understand how good he is. He's taking for granted that he's not Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Like, and he doesn't have a history. And he does. Yes. Can fans say things? Now, I don't know exactly what they were saying. They could have gone over the top. But if they're cursing at you to a point where I think that Kyrie is good enough that he could just he can ignore it because his play does all of the talking, man. So I was just surprised that he carried it on so far and he was so upset.
Right.
You know, and like he said, you know, it's the expectation to be docile. I don't think that's even docile. I wouldn't call Jackie Robinson docile. I wouldn't call, you know, Muhammad Ali docile. Guys who, you know, took real abuse. I would never think of them as docile. I just think that they're above the bullshit. They're above it. Like, when you're above it, you're just above it. Like, he's above it. That's it.
Right. Before we move on, just to wrap this up, because I brought up the gambling aspect of it. I'm just curious because I watch these games and I mean, they cut to you and Charles during the game to throw out like a prop bet. Did you ever think as a player and in your early days as a commentator?
No, never. Yeah. Well, the one thing, you know, the prop bet we do is a free bet, whatever, but it's gambling in the games. Like, you know, we always knew it was gambling, but we never thought the league would be, aligned with it, you know, the alignment of the NBA, I guess, then it's happening. So we can't stop it. So it's part of our culture.
Right. I forgot the player, but there was a player recently who tweeted out like, sorry, I messed up your parlay. I think it was an NBA player.
I think someone said so. They messed up the parlay.
Yeah.
But, you know, but as we know, the parlay is like the sucker's bet.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you got to have. If lightning strikes at the same time that you walk in your room and the lights come on, you win. Like, all right, you want that bet? Take it.
Charles is famous for the gambling stories. Is he ever on his phone during the studio show making bets on FanDuel?
No, well, you know, Atlanta, I don't think right now Atlanta, you can't bet in FanDuel, I think, in Atlanta. So, but, you know, If they could, he would probably. Yeah. You know, I don't think he bets on. I don't know if he bets on basketball games. I don't. I'm not. I know he bets. I don't know what he bets on a normal basis. But I mean, it's part of the culture now. Like, so what are we gonna do?
Couple. Let's do some quick playoff things, and then I'll get you out of here. You go short on this. I'm just curious. Celtics, Nets. I think we saw from game one, this can set up to be a beauty of a series. What do you think? How do you think that series plays out?
I think the Celtics are a better team right now. I don't think that Brooklyn is as good a team as they were on day one when James Harden was there. Because Ben Simmons has not played, they're not as good team. If they had Ben Simmons, now they're a whole different basketball team. But when the Knicks had James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Durant, they were better than they're just with those two guys.
Yeah. Since you mentioned Simmons, let me get you. I'm curious because I think I'm out on an island on this one. So I'd be curious for your take. You could set me straight and tell me I'm a dope. I feel bad for Ben Simmons. I think it's gotten personal. I think I can't remember the last time I've seen an athlete so attacked. And I understand there's a lot of things that he didn't play. He wanded out. But I feel like it's really crossed the line, and it's weird because there's got to be something there that people like about him in terms of, like, Philly wouldn't just give him up. They kept him. And people say he can't shoot. He can't shoot free throws. Well, then why do the Nets want him? Like, this whole narrative around Ben Simmons, I feel like, has gotten completely out of hand. And I feel like it's crossed the line in a little bit of a way, and people are just mocking him 24/7 because he's, and I get he's brought a lot of it on himself. Am I soft for that take?
I would say soft. You just have empathy for maybe what he's going through. I just don't have sympathy. I don't have sympathy for a guy, you know, for what he did. I do, but I do have an empathy. Like, okay, I can understand how he didn't want to be there. Like, I can understand that. The level that he went to not be there was different. I think the empathy kind of went away a little bit when you saw him, those videos surface that, you know, obviously the Sixers put out of him with the phone in the practice.
Right.
You know, they wanted that videos, you know, they're going to let you in into that world. You know, they that's strategic. You know, we know that in certain senses.
And the Nets, when he came to Brooklyn, said he had a legitimate back injury.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's, you know, I don't, like I said, I had empathy, but I don't have sympathy for what he's gone through. You know who I have more sympathy, and people's like, oh, why do you have sympathy for him? And empathy? John Wall. I'm like, they're like, well, he got paid. I'm like, yeah, but you're making my skills erode for 1 year and not letting me play basketball.
Right.
So now for 1 year, I'm not as good.
Right.
I don't get to play against today's players. So I can't be as good sitting out a whole year. And no one even said, well, the Rockets did exactly to him what Ben Simmons did to the Sixers. It's exact. You know, you can't play. Right. And we're going to pay you, and you're not going to play. But they told him, Ben Simmons, we weren't going to pay you at a certain time. So to me, it was the same thing. And no one ever says, well, damn, why John Wall? The league shouldn't let teams just sign you and not let you play. Because now, you know, it does erode your skills, and then people don't want you to give you another contract.
Yeah, possibly. That's true.
You know,
that's true. So, and then on the other end of that, the guy who I have no sympathy for is James. Like, I want to see that. I love Embiid and Maxey, but I want to see the Sixers lose because of Harden. Like, just, you know, you don't want to be in Houston. You show up overweight. You lump, you know, float around. Then you don't want to be in Brooklyn. Like, and I feel like he gets almost a little bit of a free pass. I don't know. Maybe I'm
yeah. I never analyze how you got there. I analyze once you're there what you're doing. That's always been my motto for, you know, since I became. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna tell you, yo, you're in Brooklyn, you don't do this. Yo, you're in Philly and you're not doing this. That's when I'm coming. That's when you're gonna hear. That's when you're gonna see me run to the big board because I'm gonna point it out because you're gonna be the difference. And if you do what you're supposed to do on the basketball court, I don't really care how you got there because I know that this is a league that will love you 1 second, turn you upside down the next if it doesn't go all right.
Are the Warriors going to be in the NBA Finals?
I believe so. I think
it's amazing how how amazing is it how it's all flipped just by the one loss by Phoenix. Booker gets hurt.
Well, if Booker's hurt, that's a different scenario.
Yeah,
but I said those are the best two teams. They are mirror images of each other. and the Warriors are back. They are who we know they are.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, here on the East Coast, how many people saw it two nights ago when they played. Because it was like, I mean, I think I tweeted, like, it was 15 straight minutes of basketball porn. I mean, the passing, the threes, it was off the charts.
You watch Phoenix, when Phoenix in the first half before Big Booker got hurt and then the game won, and you watch Golden State, you go, those two teams are different.
Yeah.
Everyone might be good, but they're different right now. Yeah. They might get to where they are in the playoffs, but they're not there yet.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I appreciate the time. I've gone longer. So let me ask you about two things. Tell us about The Pathway and tell us a little bit about this Adam Sandler movie you're doing. I want to hear about that.
Well, The Pathway, is a project that was the last two nights we ran on Turner. We had some really great numbers, man. People were high fiving me, about how, numbers that people watched. And so I want to thank everybody for that. Pathway was a show I did with, executive produced with Bronze Studios, which is a big movie studio house, done millions of movies, and they actually did Last Chance U. And so we just followed the plight of the four guys who were in the G League last year, Jalen Green, Jonathan Kamunga, Deshaun Nix, and Isaiah Todd, and telling their story. And, so interesting. And the line of it was so compelling for me, because the line, when we asked Jonathan Kamunga, he's from Africa playing. He says, yeah, everyone here plays for their country. I play for my continent. And he put it in a whole different perspective. And, for me, knowing that pressure that he might feel and to watch these guys get drafted and you see how it was, you got a lot of behind the scenes. You get a lot of behind the scenes. It will re-air of like things that you wouldn't have known that these guys go through. You see draft combine, you see really what goes on in a draft combine. You see really what goes on in a locker room and in a team meeting. So it was all access.
Yeah.
And happy. The numbers are great. We're going to do a season two. We've already started shooting and I'm excited about that. And
like Kenny said, you can check it. They're going to replay it. So you can check it out. Look online for when it's re-airing. And then you're in an Adam Sandler movie this summer.
Yeah, that's funny, man, because I'm not an actor. Never had a passion to be an actor. And Adam called me and was like, hey, man, I want you to be in this basketball movie. It's a dramedy. It's not a comedy. It's a dramedy. And, a bunch of guys are in it. He's just so laissez-faire about it. He's like, some guys are in it, blah, blah, blah. It's called Hustle. I'm like, oh, okay. Send me the script, man. And I'm looking through it. And I'm like, I call him back. I'm like, Adam, man, I don't see my name in it. He's like, no, you're Leon. I'm like, Leon has 32 pages of dialogue, bro. I've never acted.
Whoa.
And I'm like, he's like, no, you'll be great at it. You'll be great. I'm telling you. Da, da, da. I'm like, are you sure?
Did you shoot it already?
Yeah, we shot it.
How is doing 32 pages of dialogue?
It was very interesting. We shot over in Mallorca, Spain. We shot in Philadelphia, shot in New York, all over. It was different. I had to do it. I told him. I said, I need a night to think about it, because I saw it and I was like, I know how great he is and what he's doing now. And I didn't want to mess it up. And then I slept on it and he's like, yeah, we'll get you. And I had an acting coach for like 2 months, even before I went on set, just so I wanted to feel comfortable and natural. I'm a comfortable in front of a camera, but yeah. I'm not comfortable, reading, like thinking of lines that weren't mine.
No spoilers.
And I had to make them mine.
No spoilers, but give me like one or two sentences on your character. Like, what kind of guy you're playing?
Well, I'm the biggest sports agent in basketball.
Okay.
And so, but Adam's my best friend. He and I went to college together.
Gotcha.
And he's one of the best scouts, but he's a real classic F up. And I always kind of have to like, yo, Adam, like, yo, hey, I gotta keep calming him down. Because I'll give him like inside trader information. Like, this is going to happen. I'm going to get you here. And I play his best friend when we were in college, because both of us, we were on the same team and I was a star of the team, and we're driving from a party that I'm coming from and I crash and we switch seats.
Okay.
And he goes to jail for 6 months for me.
Right. All right.
And I go on become an NBA player And then now I'm the biggest agent in basketball.
I'm hooked.
So that's my character.
I'm hooked. I'll watch. You yes, sold sir. Me right there.
Dune 8 right now, Netflix, baby.
All right. I'm going to look
Netflix
forward to that.
Premiere. And it was a lot of fun, man. And he is the best. Adam is the best guy I've ever met, like from start to finish. Like he is the same guy day one.
Always,
that he
always
20.
Hear that. Always, I always hear that.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah. Like if I call him right now and like, hey, Adam, I was on this show. He's like, oh, I'll come on. Like he's just like, he's that type of guy.
Yeah. That's good to hear. I always hear that about him. Kenny, appreciate it. I know you're busy, even though you said this is basically the retirement phase here, but it's the playoffs. Yeah. So now you're out of, you guys are working.
I'm out of retirement for 3 weeks. You don't question.
I thank you for coming on. I thank you guys all. Please thank everyone there for all the content you've given me as someone who covers stuff on the web. And we will certainly be watching
it,
you guys.
Again, like I said, June 8th, man. I'm excited to see. I haven't seen the movie, so I'm a little. They sent me a pre, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch it till June 8th.
So June 8th,
Hustle on Netflix.
Out. Perfect.
Just watch it to be there.
And the playoffs, obviously, on TNT for the next few weeks here through the Western Conference Finals. Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. All right.
All right. Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, joining me now, back after a week off for our weekly Train of Thought segment. We missed him last week. Sal Licata from SNY TV, WFAN Radio in New York. Sal, how are you?
Good. I know you miss me a little bit. Do you think the listeners miss me?
Yeah, I did get a few tweets. Did get a few tweets from people who were like, where's Sal? So there are people out there.
I thought it was going to be all finally enough with that New York guy. That and wrestling, get rid of him.
Well, the wrestling gets way more hatred than you do. You're like 99% positivity. The wrestling is bad, but
I missed
you last week. We had Chris Long fill in, and now you're back, and we have some things to discuss. It was a nice weekend. I saw Sal over the weekend. We hung out. He had a beautiful birthday party for his one-year-old daughter, so that was fun. So we got to see each other away from the pod, which was nice.
It was crazy, though. You know how those things are. Like, you host the party, and then you have to say hello to everybody. So I didn't really get to hang out with you. But I did see you enough, and it was nice to see you. And thank you for coming. Thank you for the gift. I hope you had a good time. And I know you were at a good table there, BSing with Eddie Erickson and all that.
The best was that there was a huge, huge TV in the party room. And Sal thought he'd be able to get the Met game on and enjoy his day. And then the TV didn't work.
So. I asked the person. I said, "Oh no, that's only for like the photos and things like that." Nah,
you know, I just realized I didn't tell you this. I'll tell you this live and get your reaction because I didn't tell you this. At one point late in the party, someone comes up to me and says, "Are you Jimmy Traina?" So I said, "Yes," and he introduced himself, and it was your wife's brother.
And he said
to me, "I don't listen to your podcast, but my best friend does and tells me everything Sal says about my wife and family." So there's your rat in the family if you need to know.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. At least my brother-in-law admitted that where the rat is. But you're right. Yeah. That's why I forgot that his friend's a huge fan of yours.
Yeah. So that's anything you say now. If we don't want to get in. The party was great. There's really nothing negative to say. So everything went well. Food was great and everything. So that was good.
Well, thank you. That's fantastic. That's great.
I did have one sort of Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm moment at the party. Let's see if you can relate to this. So you guys did a nice setup where we all got like a bunch of appetizers at our table. And then we got like a pasta dish and we got to pick our entree. But for the appetizers, it was, you know, they brought out like four or five good ones. And, you know, it was like share amongst yourself. I always get nervous in those situations because you don't know how much to, you don't want to take
right
so much that the others are thinking, look at this fat pig. So you got to be careful. You know, you want to take very little, then you're starving and you're like, how, like you have to rationalize, how far do I want to go with this? Where people are going to be like, look at this fat fuck taking all this food. So I had to maneuver it.
That was a great call that I never, yeah. I mean, I guess I didn't really think about or haven't thought about in a while, but yeah, like yeah. the buffalo chicken meatballs, for example, do you take one? Do you take multiple? Right. How much right. calamari do you take? I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot.
As the fat person, I take as little as possible because you don't want people talking about behind your back at the table. Like, look what he's taking.
Yeah, so, but then they're probably thinking, "What is this guy? I know you eat more than that. Like, who are you
right.
fooling?
Right? Like, how'd you get that fat in the first place? Not by eating one piece of calamari." So yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it was fun. All right, bunch of topics I'd like to get into here. Let's start with this. Have you watched Winning Time at all? We haven't discussed this on HBO.
No, but I promise you this weekend, it's going to, I already started to grease the tracks with my wife. Hey, there's the show you might even be interested in. It's more than just sports. She's like, that's how you're going to get me to watch the show. Either way, I'm watching that show this weekend. So I will binge and catch up.
Well, a couple of things you could tell your wife, because I binged it this weekend in between your party, before, after, everything. I do think the non-sports fan will enjoy it.
Okay.
It's entertaining. It's campy. It's cheesy. And there's so many storylines in it that whether you're a sports fan or not, I think you can get into. You know, there's all this backlash by the people, you know, Jerry West and Kareem are all pissed off about it. And I don't blame them.
Even more to the point about your tweet, right. More people are going to be interested. I wanted to watch it anyway, but now I definitely want to watch it.
And I'll tell you who else doesn't come off great, but he's dead, so he can't do anything about it, is the old Laker announcer, Chick Hearn. He does not come off well at all. So I don't know. I get why those guys are mad, but as just a fan viewer, I find it very entertaining. John C. Reilly is excellent. So I was curious if you checked it out because I watched the whole thing over the weekend.
How many episodes am I looking at now?
I think 6.
And it's obviously it's not done yet. We're in the midst of it, right?
Right. And they got renewed for a second season.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. Yeah. I just assumed it was like a one-off. Yeah, I will catch up on those 6 by this weekend for sure.
And it's a very easy watch. So, all right. Another topic I wanted to get into. A report came out saying Apple TV is the leader for Sunday Ticket. Personally, I don't trust that report 1,000%. When O-RAN is on it, that's when I'll sort of believe it. Do you care who gets it as long as it's just off of DirecTV, or you don't, you have it on DirecTV? So I don't even know where you stand on this,
but I don't care, because here's why. The knock with Apple TV would be, oh, well, look at the broadcasters they put on, look at the production. That's not going to be what's going to happen here. They're giving you the game. So as long as I have the ability to access any game that I want in a game mix, and maybe they could even do it better than DirecTV, which for the most part, via the streaming service with the app, you could only get 4 at a time, which is okay. But if I could get 6 at a time, I know I'll never get the dream of being able to have the local games, but that's all that I care about. So I don't care who takes it over. I just want to be able to have the streaming service where I could get the game mix going up to 6 games potentially.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't care who gets it as long as I have the like right now, I don't have the ability to get it because I don't have DirecTV. I just need the ability to get it. I don't care who has it. I don't love the idea of streaming it because you're going to be so behind. So if, you know, God forbid you're looking on your phone for a score, but I need the ability to have, you know, 4 boxes on my TV and I want to control the game. I want to be able to pick the 4 games I want to watch. That's all I ask for. I don't care if it's the shittiest game of the week. If I have money on it, I want to watch it. So let me pick what I want to watch.
We should be able to do that. If you could do that now, right? We could do that now.
Well, no, you can do it on your app. You can't do it on the TV.
Well, that's annoying. Yeah, but you're not going to have the ability to have it on TV, right? So it's all going to be through the app. So I'm assuming it's going to go more the way that I have it on the DirecTV streaming app. I think it's going to go more that way. Right.
Well, if you have Apple TV, for instance, hooked up to your television like I do, then maybe they'll give you that ability to pick whatever games, you know.
But it's still going to be streaming, right?
Yes.
Right. So that's what I mean. So it's a streaming service. So I think it'll be fine because I would assume Apple TV has better quality than just a Sunday Ticket from DirecTV streaming service. I would think they're more experienced with the new technology, so they should be able to, hey, you could have a game mix up to 8 games if you'd like.
Right.
That would be awesome too.
Right.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Another thing, I want to get into this topic. I'm going to try to do it quickly, even though it's a little detailed. But I wrote about this on Tuesday. And unfortunately, it's become like this thing, which I don't understand why. But Woj on ESPN was talking about the Kyrie Celtic fan thing. He transitioned and talked about how he thinks the increase in live betting, sports betting, everyone being able to bet on their phone can get some fans riled up at games. It had nothing to do with Kyrie and the Celtics. He transitioned to this other topic. I happen to agree. One thing, you're not doing it and you're smart, but one thing I've seen with all this stuff with FanDuel, I cannot believe how you can bet every minute of everything, every sort of thing imaginable. And I do, I could see where fans are in stands doing that and get riled up. Do you think that's a bad take?
No, I don't. I don't know if it has direct impact on Kyrie Irving. I mean, fans could be angry at certain things, but in that particular game, the way that that played out, I don't believe that it had anything to do. I mean, what do you think? You know, 20,000 had the under and Kyrie Irving total points. But in general, I agree with your philosophy where sports fans, if you gamble, you're going to get angry. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're not going to win all the time. You're going to be frustrated. You'll be frustrated with players you bet on to do something and they don't end up doing it. And if you're at the game, maybe that could cause somebody to say, hey, you suck. And then somebody responding. So I don't think it was directly the situation with the Boston fans. And
no, no, that had nothing to do with this. This is totally separate. I just think fan behavior is so bad at games. It's so bad at games across the board.
You think it's gambling, really?
That No. Let me be clear so everyone understands. Fan behavior at sporting events is atrocious. Every sport, every level, every day you see fights, people fighting in the stands, fans being nasty to players, cursing. And it's, I think drinking fuels it. And what I wrote is money fuels it. Because when you, if you're a sports fan and you walk into that arena, you're already pissed off because you got gouged for ticket prices. You got gouged for concessions. You got gouged for pricing. So you're already on edge. Now, maybe you're drinking and you bet, you know, LeBron over 30 points in the third quarter. And now he, you know, gets a technical, he gets thrown out. Now you're going to start with LeBron. You this, you cost me money. I mean, you see it on Twitter. You see athletes get berated on Twitter for costing people. I think all I'm saying is I'm all for legalized gambling. I'm not saying it shouldn't. I want it. It's fine. I'm just saying I do think it will add now another layer of animosity and bad behavior in terms of fans at sporting events and then way fans talk to athletes. That's all my only point.
Agreed. Let me just ask you this. How much of it do you think is now that we actually see it because of phones and social media, where a lot of this stuff probably was happening many, many years ago, but now you see the guy holding the video saying, hey, Kyrie, you suck, or hey, KD, you suck, and then you get the response, then it goes viral. We're seeing it a lot more. We're seeing the fights in stands, but I guarantee you, I mean, I know, I've seen it. So it has happened years before. I do think that it's being sensationalized because we're seeing it a lot more due to social media and the phones that everybody has on them.
That's a fair point. You're right. There's no disputing that. I do think it's worse overall, though, because I just think overall human behavior is worse. I mean, everyone behaves like an animal everywhere. It's off the chart. Everywhere you go, whether you go to the store, whether wherever, it's just people.
Agree.
It's ridiculous. did you happen to hear the other night? I tweeted it, so maybe it's not there. Kevin Harlan reading a promo for a Girls Gone Wild documentary that TNT is airing on Saturday?
I did not.
If we have it, we'll play it. But
B. Booker. Well, for the first time, here's a shocking but true story behind Girls Gone Wild. Part of TNT's new documentary series, Rich and Shameless. Premiering Saturday after NBA playoff action on TNT.
Okay,
That's fantastic.
Oh, I love that you're laughing. That makes me happy because that was my reaction when I heard it live. First of all, I'm not sure there's anyone better than Harlan for that. But this is my question to you. I'm going to put you on the spot. You're going to have to think about it. If you want, I'll go first, then I can come back to you. If you could hear any other announcer read a Girls Gone Wild promo, who would you want to hear?
The first guy that came to mind was Ian, but that would be for different reasons. I mean, if we go on, can I go Marv? I'd love to hear that one. But probably those two, Ian or Marv, would be my two.
Mine are obviously John Sterling.
All right.
100%. If you want to. And I think Nance would be.
Oh, God. He'd be so uncomfortable. I don't know how Nance would handle that one.
That's hello, friends.
Tony in the background. Come on, Jim. You ever seen Girls Gone Wild?
Hello, friends. You remember Girls Gone Wild? Well, check out this documentary. When I wrote about it, I think it was on Monday. There's a great clip from an old Curb where Larry orders Girls Gone Wild, him and Jeff. And Larry calls Jeff and he's like, "Are you seeing this?" And he was watching like the, and he's like, "The girls, they've gone wild." Oh, so good. Do I want to rant and rave about the Yankees? I don't. I will. All right. I'll say this. I am very, very, very into the NBA playoffs, more than I've been in a while. What about you?
I'll be into the Nets as we tape this. The Nets are about to start with the Celtics game too. Yeah. I'll be into that series more so than anything else. I haven't really. The first round to me is like, whatever. So not yet. I guess to answer the question, other than the Celtics Nets series, not yet.
Celtics Nets, that game one was unbelievable. Hopefully we get seven in that series. All right. We're going to wrap it up here. We've covered enough good ground, I think, for this week. You'll be back next week and enjoy the NBA playoffs. Enjoy the Mets, who are on a nice roll.
We get your Yankees, who are struggling, even though the record's okay. Cole can't get anybody out. Yeah, Mets are good. Yankees. And then we got the NBA playoffs. A lot going on.
I can do like 5 hours on the Yankees. It's unbelievable what's going on there. Your FAN shows must be easy to do right now.
100%. Yeah, thankfully. I mean, the 12 to 5 shows are never easy just because of the amount of hours and the timing of it. But yes, with the Mets and Yanks, we'll see if the Nets gain some traction too here over the next couple of days.
All right. Have a good one, Sal. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You too. Talk to you later.
Thanks. All right, that wraps it up for this week's episode of the SI Media Podcast. My thanks to Kenny Smith and Sal Licata. If you missed recent episodes, go into the archives and check them out. Great guests lately. Ian Eagle last week, Adnan Virk 2 weeks ago, Greg Gumbel 3 weeks ago, Troy Aikman 4 weeks ago, all right here on the SI Media Podcast. They're in the archives, so give them a listen. If you're not a subscriber, hit that subscribe button. And if you like the pod, give me a review on Apple, and we'll read it at some point in a Train of Thought segment. All right, that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.